For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Finish the Course, as we pick up in Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Then now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that are going to befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit is witnessing in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me. Now, I really don't know what's going to happen to me when I get to Jerusalem. All I know is that I am to be bound and I'm to be imprisoned. The Spirit is warning me this everywhere I go. But none of these things disturb me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. My chief desire is to finish my course with joy. It doesn't bother me that I have to be imprisoned. It doesn't move me that I'm going to be bound. My chief desire is just to finish my course. So Paul's great drive to finish that course that God had set before him. He finally wrote to Timothy and he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. That was his last epistle just before being beheaded by Nero. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give, not only to me, but to all those who do love his appearing. It's just a shame that Paul didn't know the power of positive thinking and positive confession. He could have escaped an awful lot of things, but poor fellow, he was beheaded, suffering for Jesus' sake, because he didn't know that it was God's will that no one should suffer, that it's a lack of faith or commitment that anybody would suffer. Poor Paul. I trust you know that my tongue is in my cheek. I love this. I love commitment. Give me some men who are stout-hearted men who will fight for the right they adore. Start me with 10 who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. I love Paul. He was a stout-hearted man. I mean, he was committed to a cause, the cause of Jesus Christ. And hey, nothing was going to detour him or deter him from finishing that course with joy. So, fellas, it's probably the last time I see you, but it doesn't bother me. I know I'm going to be thrown in jail. Beyond that, I don't know. But I'm not worried by this, for I do not count my life dear unto myself. What I really desire is just to finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. What is the ministry, Paul, you have received of the Lord Jesus? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. What is the gospel of the grace of God? God loves you. No matter how badly you fail, no matter how deeply you have sunk into sin, God loves you. But God hates sin because He loves you. And God knows what a destructive force sin is. And because God loves you so much, He doesn't like to see you being destroyed. And so he hates that which is destroying you. God loves the sinner. God hates the sin because he loves the sinner. And he sees what sin is doing, the blighting, damning influence of sin on a person's life. And so God hates the sin because he loves the sinner. And so God has made provision to free a person from that power of sin by sending Jesus Christ, his Son, who took our sins and died in our place. That by our believing in him, we can be forgiven from whatever sins we may have ever committed. And through faith in him, can receive power over that bondage to corruption. And one day, as we are translated by the Spirit into his presence, we will be freed from even the presence of sin. So that is the gospel of the grace of God. Not because I deserve it, not because I merit it, but just because God loves me. It was necessary that Paul should testify of the gospel of the grace of God because nature, though it reveals God to man, does not reveal the grace of God to man. There is no gospel of grace in nature. Nature testifies to the God of law, to the God of power, to the God of wisdom, to the God who loves beauty, to the God of orderliness. But there's no testimony in nature to the gospel of the grace of God, and that is why God has called men to bear testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. And this testimony began with Jesus Christ. For the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And so Paul, testifying the gospel of grace. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Now, this is what Paul felt. He's talking out of his heart. There are indications from some of the secular historians or early church historians that Paul did get to see those in Ephesus once again. The book of Acts leaves Paul sort of imprisoned in Rome, awaiting his trial before Nero. But according to church history, the early church historians, Paul's first appearance before Nero ended in an acquittal by Nero. And that Paul was released for a time, and just what happened during that period, we don't know for sure. There are stories that he came back to the church of Ephesus for a time, and also stories that he went to Spain with the gospel. Secular history gives us something quite interesting. You remember Jesus told his disciples that, you know, they're going to bring you before the judges and before magistrates and before the kings. And don't take any forethought what you're going to say. In the hour that you're there, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say, and it will give you an opportunity to witness. Now, Paul took this literally. Every time he was brought before a judge, a magistrate, or a king, Paul took the opportunity to witness. And the higher up the guy was, the heavier Paul laid on the witness. Because Paul, I think, always felt, man, if I could convert this guy, wow, you know. And so when he finally got before King Agrippa, I mean, he was really pushing hard. Agrippa, do you believe the scriptures? I know you believe the scriptures, you know. And he said, wait a minute, wait, back off, Paul. Wait a minute, you know. Trying to convert me? Paul said, oh, how I wish I could. Because I'm sure that Paul, and we'll get to that in a few chapters now, Paul's defense before, fabulous. I mean, Paul really was pressing because he no doubt thought, wow, if Agrippa would just accept Jesus Christ, what an influence this could have. Well, imagine when he got to Nero. I imagine that Paul really pressed the claims of Jesus Christ on Nero like nothing we have ever heard. I'm certain that Paul thought, wow, if I could just win Nero to Jesus Christ. Now, as you follow secular history, you will find that Nero wasn't such a bad guy. He did some good things. But there came a time in Nero's life where he had almost a total personality change, where he became a beast. In fact, that's what they called him in those days, the beast. It was as though he had a total change of personality, like a man who was almost demon-possessed. And if you will study the secular history, you will find that this dramatic change came in Nero just about the time that Paul witnessed to him. I believe what happened is that Paul did lay on such a heavy witness to Nero that it was a now or never situation for Nero's salvation. And in turning his back upon the gospel, I believe he became possessed by an evil spirit. And that is why he became such a beast. He released Paul on the first trial, but soon called Paul back from Ephesus and beheaded him as he turned into that beast. So Paul is saying, I don't think I'm going to see you again. It seems that maybe he did get to see them again. Wherefore, I call you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Paul felt it very important that he be upfront with people as far as the gospel is concerned, to declare the truth, the whole counsel of God to man, so that he would not be accountable for them. I'm free from the blood of all men because I haven't shunned to tell you everything, the whole counsel of God. Now take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseers, that you feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And this is the charge and the responsibility that God has placed upon the ministers, to feed the flock of God. But it is so difficult to find pastors today who will really feed the flock of God. We get letters by the hundreds. The other night when I was in Indianapolis, scores of people afterwards said to me, would you please start a work here in Indianapolis? We've been praying for 5 years that God would establish a Calvary Chapel here in Indianapolis. We want a place where we can just go and be fed the Word of God. People are hungry to be fed the Word of God. And so Paul said to these overseers of the church at Ephesus, feed the flock of God. Peter, in writing his epistles, said, feed the flock of God which is among you. Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep. I don't know why pastors don't realize that this is the most important function of a pastor, is to feed the flock of God. We have those who are seeking to entertain the flock of God. And then, God help us, unfortunately, we have those who are seeking to fleece the flock of God. But how few are really feeding the flock of God? Also of your own selves. For I know this, the reason why I had to feed them is that they might become strong. Because wolves are going to come in. After I depart, grievous wolves are going to enter in among you, not sparing the flock. False doctrines that will come in. Weird concepts and ideas. Men who will try to draw groups after themselves. There's always that. God establishes a work. And then there are always those who try and come in, even out of your own midst, There will come those that will try and break off a group to bring them as after themselves. Sad and tragic. Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians, said that God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's what we're here for. That you might be fed the word of God, that you might be perfected for the work of the ministry. The building up of the body of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, into that complete person, under the measure, the stature, the fullness of the image of Christ, that you be no more as babes who are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and slight cunning of men who lie in wait to deceive. The greatest burden on the heart of Paul, the greatest grief and sorrow, were those men who would come in to prey upon the flock of God, to draw men after themselves. And so Paul said to these Ephesians, I know that after I depart, there are going to be grievous wolves that are going to enter in, not sparing the flock. Also, out of your own midst shall men arise who will be speaking perverse things, not really teaching the word of God, teaching the concepts of man, who try to draw disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. Doesn't make any difference. There are always those foolish little sheep that will go traipsing after any bell. And though Paul warned them for 3 years, night and day with tears, that, hey, get sound in the word, get founded in the word. Yet I know that, you know, they're going to rip some of you off. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are set apart by God. I commend you to God and the word of his grace. Oh, it's that which is able to build you up and bring us into that glorious inheritance. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Oh, God, give us more Pauls. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Hey, fellas, you see the calluses. I worked with my own hands. I took care of myself and those that were with me. I earned our living. I didn't covet your silver or gold or your apparel. I wasn't here to rip you off or to fleece you. I was here to minister and to feed you. Now, he was telling them that because those false prophets are always seeking to fleece the sheep. Always some new gimmick to take a second offering or a third offering. Always the emphasis upon your giving to God rather than what God has given to you. Watch that one who is constantly emphasizing what you ought to be giving to God. The New Testament emphasizes what God has given to you. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We just completed a conference with the worldwide distributors of Maranatha music. They've come in from all over the world, Africa, Singapore, Philippines, Hong Kong, Europe, distributors of Maranatha music. We had a farewell luncheon with them Friday, in which these distributors got up and just sort of expressed themselves concerning the conference that they just had. And They said, you know, been at a lot of conferences, but never one like this. It seems that all the conferences we go to, they're always trying to get something from us. But when we came here, you've been ministering to us. It's like you're giving and trying to give to us rather than taking from us. And I said, you have just stumbled on to the philosophy of Calvary Chapel. We exist to minister to people, not to be ministered to by people. That's our basic philosophy. We're here to give, not to receive. And that is why there is never an emphasis upon your giving. The emphasis is always upon what God has given to us. And we are here to give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is so blessed to be able to go on the radio all over the United States, not to be ministered to by the people. Now, friends, please send in your offering this week. Because if we don't hear from you this week, we're so far behind in our bills, you know, and we've got to hear from you this week. Never, never, never. We are just there to minister God's word to the people all over the country, to give.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 20. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and give you a beautiful week. May His hand be upon your life. And may the flame of love really begin to burn in your hearts towards God. That this will be a week in which you're really in tune, in harmony with Him. And that love and commitment is restored, and it's just a glorious week of thinking of Him, worshiping Him, serving Him, loving Him. May God be pleased with you by your commitment and devotion to Him. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Faith, is a book that explains why faith is the key to a successful Christian life. What is faith? Where does it come from? How does it work? What does it accomplish? Why does it please God? Pastor Chuck Smith explores these questions and a host of others as they relate to the issue of faith. It was faith that enabled Peter to step out of the boat and walk on water. What might faith do in you? You can order this resource at TWFT.com or by calling customer service at 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way it used to be.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.